Good morning. Welcome to worship. Special welcome to any of you who are visiting today. We're glad you're here and look forward to meeting you after the service. We have a few announcements that should be made. First of all, our congregational chairman has given me notice that a congregational meeting will be held on May 8th. I'm assuming that'll be after worship, as normal. And it's concerning replacing furnace and steps in the church building. So, May 8th, be notified. We have a special congregational meeting for those items. And, yes, this Tuesday, this is not printed in the bulletin, new information. But this Tuesday, we plan to start up our Tuesday Bible studies again, both in the morning at 10 a.m. at Faye's place. And that'll be both in person and online. So if you're interested in either option, let me know, and we'll facilitate that. And then also 7 p.m. In person at Galen and Joy's place. And our Bible study will be on the book of Jonah. So, starting this Tuesday, day after tomorrow, April 26th, and up through May 24th on Tuesdays, 10 a.m. in person and online, and also 7 p.m. in person. So, if you want to know more about that, let me know, and we'll let you know. All right. Also, an additional announcement not printed is we plan to have a discovery class that would be for anyone who's interested in membership, or maybe you are a member and you want a review on what it is we believe and how do we live that out as members of Stavanger Church. And I plan to start that on May 1st, next Sunday, for three Sundays, the 1st, the 8th, and the 15th during the Sunday school hour. And if you have questions about that, you can see me as well. Other than that, we have the announcements that are printed, and draw your attention to those on the bulletin in the announcements box. And if you have questions about any of those, please let me know. Are there any additional announcements that need to be made? Coffee. There's coffee after worship today. Thank you. Downstairs. So you're all welcome. Any others? All right. Well, that being the announcements, we begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank You for giving us breath and life. And Lord, may we use it today, right now, and in whatever time You give us on this earth, to praise You with the breath that You've given us. May we praise You with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Lord, that others may know of Your greatness and Your love and the salvation You've given us in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, bless this time of worship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able as we worship the Lord in song.
Please join us in singing, Come People of the Risen King. Come, people of the risen King.
Psalm 36, verses 7 through 9. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God! People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Please be seated and continue singing with us Your Name.
Thank you.
Let's continue with worship by confessing our sins and hearing the words of forgiveness. Invite the congregation to rise as you're able. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, to us all. Amen. Let's also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, says the word of the Lord. As we are turning to the Lord in prayer and bringing requests before him, I want to remind us that we normally have Mission Sunday designated as the third Sunday of the month. Last week was Easter Sunday, and we didn't do that, so we'll be doing that this week. And we have a video from Lutheran Brethren International Mission that we'll take a look at now.
Greetings, church. on behalf of Lutheran Brethren International Mission, I want to say thank you. As the Church of the Lutheran Brethren sends missionaries and supports ministries in our fields in Chad, Japan, Taiwan, we seek to share the message of Jesus and the love of God in places and among people unreached with the gospel. And we intentionally do that through holistic approaches, ministering to the whole person by the grace of God, meeting spiritual need, physical need, social need, economic need, etc. As Micah 6:8 reminds us, God calls us to engage the world by being advocates of justice and mercy, walking humbly with our God. Our faith is meant to be connected with our actions, joining our care for those in need with our walk with God. And this is why I thank you. This past year, because of your generous contributions to the holistic ministries of LBIM, we've been able to do just that. In response to what will be a significant food shortage in Chad, we raised over $128,000 in famine and refugee relief. With that, and through the help of our missionaries on the ground, we've been able to purchase, transport, store, distribute over 1,000 sacks of grain to hungry families in over 30 different communities. We've also purchased hundreds of tarps, blankets, mosquito nets, and sacks of grain that have been distributed to 7 different refugee settlements, ministering to displaced peoples who have fled ethnic and religious violence from extremist groups in neighboring countries. Your gifts are having far-reaching impact. Many of you are aware of our Living Waters ministry. Almost half of Chad's population live without access to clean water. Women and children in Chad walk an average of 4 miles a day just to fetch water, carrying what they can on their heads or on the back of donkeys. We're making a difference. This past year, thanks to your generosity, we raised over $135,000 for this ministry, with which we installed 22 water wells. Your gifts are quenching both physical and spiritual thirst. Education is another holistic platform we use. This past year, you gave over $174,000 towards our mission schools in Chad. This last year, we completed construction of new classrooms at our Gethsemane Dimweb School and our College Marcos School. We hired teachers, we purchased educational supplies, we built benches and desks. Your gifts are being leveraged for the future of these students. Another thing we did this year through the CLB Women's Ministry was the funding of a playground table and benches at our House of Hope Ministry in Japan. This is bringing people of the community together in relationship with our ministry in Japan. So church, I could go on, but I trust this little glimpse is of encouragement to you. Thank you again. As we minister to people and communities in this way, we're not only helping them to meet very real physical needs and social needs, but we're growing in relationship and we're sharing the gospel. These ministries serve to help our missionaries enter into the world of the people we serve, to grow in trust, to build relationships with people who need the gospel. And the gospel is going forth. As we look ahead to the future of our ongoing work in Chad and Japan and Taiwan, we're full of anticipation of what God will do, as we, the church, continue to be faithful to go and faithful to send. We're looking for more missionaries to go. We're looking for those who will send. And as we take steps of faith, I'm eager to see what God does in and through the Church of the Lutheran Brethren among the nations. So thank you, church, for your ongoing support of Lutheran Brethren International Mission.
So yes, thank you. Stavanger has been a part of a number of these ministries that Dan mentioned in the video, and thought it'd be encouraging for you to see what your gifts and prayers have, the effect they've been having. So thank you, and we want to also remember the Hoshes as they are planning to come back to stay here for about 2.5 months. Their planned stay and arriving in Fargo on May 2nd. So we want to be praying for their travel, and also in the prayer calendar, they're asking for help with, as they seek creative ways to meet university students while still observing COVID restrictions in place in Taiwan, and asking for prayer for opportunities to be intentional in connecting with students in the community that surrounds the campus and Taishan Victory Church. So we'll be remembering the Hoshes in prayer for their ministry and also their travel and planned visit here to the States. Also want to give you an update. Some of you have been praying for a particular family in the Ukraine, a fiance of a friend of ours, a friend who lives in Williston Ross. His fiance Olga and her family are in the middle of all the fighting in Ukraine and have been trying to get out. We received word that some members of Olga's family, along with another family, did have an attempt to get out. It was partially successful. Some members of the other family were able to get out of the war zone to an area where Ukraine is in control, but the members of Olga's family were unsuccessful and had to turn back. Fortunately, they were able to return back to their home safely, but it was a harrowing experience, to say the least. And so we want to keep them in prayer because another attempt could be happening even now to get them out. So we'll remember them and everyone in the country involved in a very difficult situation. Are there other things we want to pray about together today? Additional prayer requests? Okay, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that we do have a Heavenly Father who loves us, you, namely, who is eager to give good things to his children who ask, and so we do come before you with things, Lord, that are far beyond our ability, but not yours. And so we do thank you, Lord, for watching over Olga's family as this rescue attempt was made, that they were kept safe. But we do pray, Lord, that it would be successful, that her family and the remaining members of the other family, Lord, would be able to get out safely and soon. Lord, we pray for an end of a just end to this conflict. We pray, Lord, you would restrain the forces of evil that are causing such great suffering for so many. We pray, Lord, for world leaders to have wisdom and courage to do what is good and right in your sight. And we pray, Lord, for your ongoing work in reaching the nations with good news in a world that has so much bad news and darkness. We thank you, Lord, for calling the Hoshes, and we pray for your guidance for Ben and Sarah, and that you would provide opportunities, Lord, to connect with university students and others in the community while still observing the COVID restrictions they are facing. We do pray, Lord, for their preparations to travel and for safe travel and arrival here, and a blessing on their time here. May it be a time of rest and renewal of relationships with family and others. And we pray too, Lord, for the continuing work of Lutheran Brethren International Mission, for the things we saw in the video today, Lord, and the rest of the unmentioned works, Lord. May you bless these efforts to build relationships, to show your love in tangible ways so that people may be ready to hear and receive and believe the good news of Jesus the Savior. We pray too, Lord, for the Somali people during this month of Ramadan. Lord, so many identify as Muslim, yet you are bringing many as well to yourself to be saved as followers of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the Somali believers who are facing severe persecution. May you help them to remain faithful and use their witness, Lord, to draw many more to you, that you would do a mighty work among the Somali people. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, even as we have those who are from Somalia as our neighbors in our communities here. Lord, help us to be mindful of how we might reach out with your love to welcome them and point them to Jesus. Lord, we pray for all who are facing illness, who are facing hardship in one form or another, Lord, among us. May you encourage each one and provide for each according to their need. And help us, Lord, as fellow believers to be mindful of those around us and how we might, Lord, be used by you to bless them. So, Lord, we lift up all these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts, trusting them into your hands and praying as you, Jesus, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, good morning. A warm welcome on a day that is decidedly colder than yesterday, but still warmer than it could be, and so we're glad to see that spring is slowly advancing, and hopefully by the end of the week it'll feel like it's here to stick around for a while. It's always good to have opportunity to be out here and speak out here at Stavanger, and this morning as we look to our sermon text, it is the second Sunday of Easter, and we will be looking at a passage that comes from John chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 19, and we're going to read through verse 31 as John talks about some of the events that followed, both that first day that Jesus rised later in the evening, and then some days later, as Jesus appears to his disciples. First to the disciples gathered there in a room, and then later on to the disciples, plus the one who missed out on the first one, the disciple Thomas. And so I invite you to follow along, either on the screen, or if you're reading from a pew Bible, it's page 881. And let us read together this account from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, reading in the name of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pause for a moment of prayer. Almighty God, I thank you for your word to us. I thank you that your word still speaks. Lord, I ask that you would open my mouth to proclaim your word faithfully this morning. I ask that you would open our ears that we may hear. I ask that you would open our eyes that we may see. I ask that you would open our minds that we may understand. And Lord, open our hearts that we may believe. And by believing, may we turn and be healed even as you have promised. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. The Hebrew word shalom is a word that means peace. Still to this day, it's used as a greeting when you welcome someone. Peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem. The word shalom carries with it a sense of wholeness, a sense of harmony. Peace means that all is right in the world. It means that you're not stressed. It means that you're not worried. It means that you are at peace with yourself, at peace with the world. It is a holistic sense of peace. It's a beautiful word, shalom. It's a beautiful sentiment, peace. But it's one that can be hard to find. I looked at some statistics here this week in preparation of this message. CDC reports from 2019, 19,000 homicide deaths in the United States, 47,500 plus suicides. Peace be with you. We heard Dan Venberg speak on the video earlier of the refugee camps throughout Africa, of the ethnic cleansing, of the persecution that is going on. We see on the news and heard this morning the report from the war in Ukraine. In Mariupol alone, as many as 20,000 casualties, civilian casualties believed dead, the number probably higher than that. Report from March 2nd to March 14th of this year, in the United States alone, 22% of U.S. adults reported symptoms of depression. Where is the shalom that was promised? Where is the peace of God? It's a strange thing, peace. We yearn for it, yet it's so hard to find. The quest for peace is not a new one. It's as old as human history. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, the last time we truly had peace. And as they left there, already they found trouble. Already they found hardship. Cain and Abel, there at the dawn of humanity, already violence and bloodshed descend. We've been looking for peace for a long time. They looked for peace in Jesus' day. They looked for peace even before Jesus' day. City of Jerusalem itself. Yerushalom, the city of peace. That's what the name means. That is the hope, the desire. Place where you can live in shalom. The wholeness of self. A right relationship with yourself, a right relationship with God, a right relationship with the world, a right relationship with one another, a city of peace. That is the hope of Israel. that one day they would live in peace with God. I always liked that saying that was often said among the Jewish refugees throughout the diaspora as they gathered for the Passover meal next year in Jerusalem. Hope of peace. It was a city, but it was more than just a city. It was an ideal. A world without conflict, a world where things are right. Peace can be hard to find. Wholeness, harmony, they can be hard to find in this world. And I'll be the first to admit that they can be hard to find in my own life sometimes. I am, as a human being, I am wont to frustration, to disappointment. It's easy to grow discontent. It's easy to grow frustrated. It's easy to get unhappy about situations in life. It is easy to get worried about things. It is easy to get frustrated, to be anxious. It's easy to get envious of others who seem to have everything going their way. Where is the peace in those things? I'll be the first to admit, peace in my own life can be hard to find. What about you? Oh, there are days I think I almost have it. There are days I think it's almost there. Yesterday was a beautiful day. You walk outside and it's 70 degrees and it's not quite raining as much. I don't know if it quite got to be 70, but it felt like it. It felt good. And you say, you know what? This is pretty nice. And then you look at the weather forecast and you see 30 on Monday. And the peace is gone, just like that. Peace can be hard to find. In our text today, the disciples do not know peace. They've just been through a very difficult experience. For close to 3 years, they have traveled with Jesus, they have lived with him, they have eaten with him, they have studied his feet, and they have believed that he is the Messiah, that he is going to come, that he is going to finally fulfill the hope of Israel, that finally under Jesus' reign, that name Jerusalem, City of Peace, was going to be more than just an ideal, it was going to be the reality. He was going to drive out Rome, he was going to create a nation where they could live in peace. And not only would they live in peace, but they had carried the hope that they were going to be at his right and left hand. That they were going to be there at the table with him in his glory. And then in the course of 1 week, everything fell apart. Because Jesus went to Jerusalem, he went to the City of Peace, and there he was arrested, and there he was mocked, and there he was beaten, and there he was crucified, and there they watched him die. That's a tough week. And to make it even worse, when he was in need, when the world turned against him, they were nowhere to be found because they had run. They had the opportunity to be arrested with him. They had the opportunity to stand by him. Remember what Peter said? He said, Lord, all these others may abandon you, but not me. I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. I will die for you, Jesus. What Peter really meant is he'll fight for you. There's a difference. There's a difference between fighting for something and dying for something. Because fighting implies we might win, right? Peter was willing to fight for Jesus because fighting implied that he might come out alive. But when he discovered that Jesus meant to die, and when the invitation was, Peter, come and die with me, Peter said, no, that's not what I meant. And he ran. It's easy to fight for someone. It's far harder to die for someone. And that's what Peter discovered. And then something unusual happened. The women came a few days later, and they had gone to the tomb that morning, and they came with a strange report. Jesus' body was gone. And not only was his body gone and the stone rolled away, but they had been told that he was alive. And Mary said that she had even seen him. And what were they to believe? Now, to be fair to the disciples, I imagine this put them in a little bit of a tight spot. On the one hand, they didn't have any reason to think the women were playing a joke on them. They didn't have any reason to think that the women were lying to them. They knew these women. It wasn't like these were strangers. And yet, at the same time, they'd lived in the world a long time. They knew what disappointment feels like. They know what death is. They know what death does. You don't just come back from it. So who are they to believe? The report of the women they probably trusted. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they distrusted the women. But it's easy to get our hopes up. It's easy sometimes to be misled. And I'm sure they thought, well, you probably saw the tomb was empty and assumed that, wanted to believe that, but doesn't it make more sense that someone moved his body somewhere? Doesn't it make more sense the soldiers who were guarding him dragged him off for something? We are discouraged. It's easy when we are downtrodden to find excuses to dismiss hope. And I'm sure that's where the disciples were, because they struggled to believe. It says the women gave the report and none of them believed. We see Thomas here a little bit in the text. Thomas gets kind of the bad rap. He's known as the one who didn't believe. But if we look at the other Gospels, none of the disciples believed at first. They all kind of dismissed the woman's message. The closest they came were Peter and John, who ran down to the tomb and they looked in to see and they saw that Jesus wasn't there and they wondered what happened. But it doesn't say they yet believed. They believed the woman's report that he was gone. But did they believe truly that he had risen? And then in the midst of their despair, as they gather there in the room that evening, first, some fellow disciples come and repeat the woman's message. Luke's gospel tells us that. Two gentlemen on the road to Emmaus, and on the way they visit with this man they don't quite recognize, and as he speaks to them, their hearts are filled with this fire as he talks about, well, isn't the Messiah supposed to die? Didn't he say that he'd come back alive? And finally, as they break bread, they recognize it's Jesus, and they run back and they tell the other disciples. The other disciples don't know what to believe. And then, as they hear this report, suddenly Jesus himself is there in the room with them. And what are the first words that he speaks? Shalom aleichem. Peace be with you. The disciples had no peace. How could they? But as Jesus comes, the message that he brings is peace be with you. And as he stands in their presence, they come to believe. Not right away. If you read some of the other gospel accounts, you know their initial reaction is to believe he's a ghost. And they get scared. And he has to eat some fish and prove to them, no, I'm very much alive. And finally, they believe. And what do they find? Peace. And Jesus breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Peace. And then we're told that there was one disciple who was not there. Thomas. And now Thomas gets kind of a bad rap. Throughout perpetuity, he's known as Doubting Thomas. He wasn't the only one who doubted. And in fact, doubting is probably not the right word. Because if you look at his response, it's not that he says, I don't know. That's doubt. No, Thomas says, I will not believe it. until you can prove it to me, until I can see Christ, until I can feel his wounds, until I can feel his wounds, I will not believe it. I refuse. Why so strong a disavowal? We can ask the question, but I think we know, don't we, if we're honest with ourselves? If you've ever been disappointed, you know how hard it is to get your hopes up again. If you've ever really wanted something to be true and disappointed, you know how hard it is to have that kind of faith again. That's where Thomas is at. It's not that he doesn't want to believe, he does. But he's not going to put himself through that disappointment again. He's walked that road already. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and then he saw him die. He's going to need more proof than just the testimony of the disciples. Because he's in the same boat the disciples were when the women came before. He's going to believe what his eyes saw more than he's going to believe the report of others. And for 8 days, that is the reality that he lives in. He has no peace. And then the Lord appears again and says to the disciples and says to Thomas, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. Thomas, reach out your hand. Feel the wounds. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And now Thomas swings very radically the other direction. Because he goes from saying, I will not believe unless I see, to being the very first to declare, my Lord and my God. And this is significant because Thomas was raised a Jew, and they know that there is but one God. And for him to say, you are my God, that is a powerful declaration. Because it means in that moment he recognizes in Christ, he recognizes God, Elohim, Yahweh. And he believes and he finds peace. And then Jesus gives them an assignment, a task. Go and share this good news with the world. Go and share the peace that you have found with the world. We still carry that assignment today. But it's hard to proclaim the gospel of peace when we ourselves are not at peace. Have you ever tried to sell something that you don't really believe in? You can maybe do it for a while, but it's hard. It's hard for us to proclaim peace to the world when we can't find it in our own lives. It does happen. I think of the psalmist, Psalm of Asaph, as he comes to the Lord and says, Lord, surely in vain have I kept my lips from... Surely in vain have I lived a good life... Because I've tried to do everything right, and life is hard, and I don't feel at peace at all. And I look around and I see the wicked, and it seems like everything's going their way. That was his complaint. I should have written down Psalm 73, I believe, but I didn't write that down, so take it with a small grain of salt. That's his problem. He's lacking peace. The shalom is missing in his life. He says, Lord, I want to tell the world, come to the temple of the Lord, come and worship God and find the peace. And yet I look at my own life and I'm not at peace. And I look at the wicked around me who deny you, and it seems like everything's going perfect in their life. Have you ever felt that way? Social media is great for this. We get to see one small curated picture of someone's life and we say, boy, does it look like things are going well for them. Why can't my life be like that? And discontent creeps in. It's hard to proclaim the gospel of peace when we ourselves seem to be missing that peace. And that's why it's so important that we hear Jesus' words to the disciples, that we hear Jesus' words to us. Peace be with you. Because when Jesus comes and says to the disciples, peace be with you, when Jesus comes and tells us, peace be with you, it's more than just a wish. You see, when we say peace, we often say it as a wish, don't we? Boy, I hope everything goes well for you. I hope that you can find peace. I hope that things will fall your way. But not Christ. Because peace is who he is. Scriptures say that he is the Prince of Peace. And when he says, peace be with you, it is not a wish, it is a declaration. And as he breathes on the disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit, what does he give them? He gives them his own presence. The presence of peace. Christ's pronouncement is not a wish, it is a declaration. And as he rises victorious over the grave, and as he comes to stand before the disciples, it is a declaration of that old Paschal Triporion, the old Paschal hymn of the Orthodox Church. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling death by death. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christ comes to us and says, peace be with you, he is declaring to us that he has conquered all of the things in this life that seek to take peace from us. The scriptures tell us that in his flesh he has destroyed the walls of hostility that divide us. The enmity that exists between us, in Christ's love, in Christ's death upon the cross, he has reconciled all men to one another. We are now called to live as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are called to live loving one another, bearing one another's burdens. Through the power of Christ's death, through the power of his resurrection, we can be reconciled one to another. Peace. The power of sin, all that we have done, all that has been done to us, all the things in this world that separate us from God, that create division between us, the scriptures tell us that in Christ's death, he has reconciled not only us to one another, he has reconciled us to God. We are forgiven. We are made new. You are no longer beholden to your past mistakes. It's not who you are. And you are no longer beholden to your past success. And that too is important for us to remember, because it's so easy for us to tie up our worth in the things we do well. So easy for us to tie up our worth in the things that we can do, and the things that we can perform. And when time comes that we can't do those things anymore, we can believe that we no longer have value, that we no longer have worth in God's sight. God does not judge you based on those things. In my work in nursing home settings and my work in hospice settings, I meet a lot of people who feel like their usefulness to God is dried up, who feel like their worth as a human being is no longer with them because they cannot physically, they cannot emotionally, they cannot mentally do the things that they did so well for so long. But in Christ's death, he tells us that we are being made new. It's no longer the things that you've failed to do. It's no longer the things that you've done well that define your worth in God's sight. It is the fact that he loves you, that he cares for you. You don't have anything more to achieve. You don't have anything more to prove. Peace. Even the things we fear, death, loneliness. Christ has overcome these. Because as he rises from the grave, he promises us that he is the resurrection, that he is the first fruit of that which is to come, that we too, if we are alive in Christ, then we will be alive in Christ forever. That death has lost its sting. That we will not need to fear the separation of death. That we will not need to fear being alone in this life or in the life to come, because he is with us. He has given us his Spirit to be with us every day in every situation. He has conquered our fear. He has given us peace. And he has promised us that just as God cares for the sparrow, just as God cares for the bird of the air, or the flower of the field, so he cares for us. Let your anxieties go. Will they come in life? Of course. They will circle around you, but they do not need to define you. They do not need to shape you. You are a new creation. Peace be with you. He seeks to give us a faith that is satisfied, that has what it needs. And this is in part, I believe, why he says to Thomas, "You believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Because Christ's desire for us is that we have a faith that is satisfied. That we have a faith that doesn't need to constantly be searching for a new sign or a new miracle or some new proof that we can hold on to. What we have is enough. We have the promise of God that he is with us. We have the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you have those things, what more do you need? If you are searching today for some sign, for some miracle, I understand that's human nature. But God says, what you have is enough. Because every sign and every miracle that we see in time will soon fade, and then we'll be looking for the next. But the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit is with us always. And it is enough. If the Holy Spirit is with you today, if you are forgiven, you need no other sign. You need no other miracle. You have all you need. This is where peace is found. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's found in his victory on the cross. It's found in his resurrection. It's found in his presence daily in our lives. And what that means is that I cannot, if I want to find peace in this world, I cannot look at my own life and my own feelings, because my heart is so often just a tempest of emotion. My heart so often in this life is a storm that rages, that's swayed every time something doesn't go my way. Is that your heart this morning? Might be calm for a while, but as soon as something comes along, suddenly it's a tempest again. You cannot look to the storm to find peace. But we do have a God who can calm the storm. And who can speak to the wind and the waves and say, "Peace, be still." And that is where our hope must be found. That is where our peace is found. Do not trust the storm. Trust the rock on which you stand. Trust Jesus Christ, who has the power to say, "Peace, be still," and all creation must obey. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. And that you have come to set our tempestuous hearts still, peaceful, calm. Lord, we know that there is much in this world that causes heartache. There is much in this world that causes fear and trepidation. There is much in this world that causes us to be uneasy. And Lord, that is why you have promised us that the peace that you bring is a peace that passes understanding. Because if we look at it from an earthly standpoint, it doesn't make sense. With so much going wrong around us in the world, how can we have peace? We can have peace today because you are with us. Because you who overcame the grave, who overcame the power of sin and death, is alive in our heart today. Lord, thank you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, who is with us even now, praying for us, ministering to us. Thank you for your presence as you stand at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Remind us today that our every sin is forgiven. Remind us today that death has no power over us. Remind us today that we are children of God, loved, redeemed, sanctified for your work in this world. May we fit our feet with the gospel of peace so that we are ready to share that good news with the world, to walk forth without fear, to walk forth knowing that you are with us. And Lord, in those moments when the storm rages, in those moments when the emotions of our heart are kicked up and welled up within us, Lord, remind us again to look to you, to cry out to you, to rest in your arms, and to hear your voice whisper, "Peace, be still." To hear your voice welcome us home, Shalom Aleichem. May peace reign in our hearts today. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Caleb. I invite you to rise as you're able for our closing chorus. Go now in peace. Benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.